let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done.
And welcome to the podcast. You're listening to Prophets Don't Wear Plaid. My name is Brian David Thompson. I want to thank you for listening and remind you all to subscribe and tell a friend. CK's on mic here.
Hello. Hey, welcome to the podcast, and thank you for tuning in today. We're coming to you from beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. We are recording live from Las Vegas. Thank you for listening, and I also want to say thank you to the Streams of Many Waters podcast network and all of the great people there, and check them out. There's some really good podcasts going on. What a great, really awesome bunch of people to work with. We really love them. We love you guys. And today we are going to let her rip. We have Mike Thompson in the studio today, and that's always a blessing. Going to talk a little bit about Third Heaven Authority, Third Heaven Intercession, actually. And so I'm just going to... Brian, okay. I'm just going to see what I'm called to see and say what I'm called to say.
Great. No, that's good. And so I know we want to get straight to it. I hear that you have an email that you want to talk about.
This is from Deborah in Las Vegas. Hi, Deborah. Her email says, love the podcast. Looking forward to learning more about Third Heaven Intercession. Thank you for writing. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for writing. And I also want to say, anyone who has questions of, you know, this kind, please write. I really appreciate the email, and actually it's a really good, that's part of the reason we brought Mike into the studio today. Very good question, or just getting us on subject here about Third Heaven Intercession. It really helps to know the heart of God. Third Heaven, well, let me introduce Mike so he can talk to us about that a little bit. Hello, Mike. Welcome.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be here, CK and Brian David. Yes.
So, first of all, tell us a little bit about why we brought you here today regarding the Third Heaven Intercession.
Well, I think that that's one of my strong suits, first of all, is that I've had a lot of encounters, and I know you have too, CK, but over the years, where the Lord has trained me in Third Heaven warfare, intercession, and it...
Yeah.
I'm a warrior.
Yeah, you are. You are. And that's one thing about us that people need to know. We're warriors. I think, before we go any further, I would like to play a clip, if we have that, Brian, from a recent Sunday worship event. And this clip is short, guys. It's only, about 10, 11 minutes long. But it helps establish the heart of God about why intercession. And by the way, I want to say that intercession means to pray, to intercede on behalf of someone else or yourself. Jesus was the ultimate intercessor. When he went to the cross, that was the ultimate act of intercession. On behalf of the whole world, he gave his life. And intercession is important, and it's part of the job of every believer. It's part of the calling on the body of Christ is intercession. We are here to worship the Lord, to fellowship with him and one another, but to intercede and bring as many people into the kingdom with us as possible. And so that's kind of what this clip is about. I would like you to... Do you have that?
I do have it ready, and just a little note on it. Also, there's music playing because this was from a recent event that we did, this clip. So, just saying that.
Yes.
Did you have something on that, or you want me to explain it? Go ahead.
Yes. I wanted to mention that again, we did this, I believe it was last week, in the studio. This clip is not, it has music on it, and it's Brian David playing solo guitar. It is in the service itself.
Right, it's live, so it's not a track that I added for this or anybody put on there, so that's why some people might wonder what's going on, but it just happened live. That's how it happened, is exactly how you're hearing it. So
we didn't add the in the studio. It was already, he was playing while I was giving that word from the Lord.
Right.
Just it's short. Clear. It's only 12 minutes long, or about 11 and a half, but it really carries the anointing on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's tune in.
Okay, here goes.
Every time the Lord speaks to me, he says the souls are in the balance. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And the part of the reason the Lord's called the boomers to take their position, and then the next generation after that, the busters, and to make sure that there's the inheritance that he has called us to have, and so we have something to pass on to the next generations, is because someone has to remind the church that souls are in the balance. There's so much bickering going on in the name of the Lord, and the Lord says, but souls are in the balance. When we get a hold of his heart and stop the manipulating and the bickering and the trying to, you know, the arguing about semantics and I didn't want to go there, but the Lord said, stop it. Stop the strife, guys. Stop the strife, because souls are in the balance. Don't you know why he came? Souls are in the balance. Jesus talked to me. I mean, he visited me in the night, November 2001. And the first thing he said to me was, souls are in the balance. And then he talked to me. And then he shared his heart. And then he kept saying, souls are in the balance. And then I've been hearing it like he's, I don't know how many different visions, visitations, dreams. He always gets that in there somehow. Souls are in the balance. That's why he came. That's why Jesus died. It was because our souls were in the balance. Souls are in the balance. It's all about souls. And he said that in the last installment of a recent dream, he said that when the kingdom of heaven invades, it's for the souls. It's for souls. It's for your soul. You know, Christianity is not a self-improvement course. Souls are in the balance. We're not here just to work on ourselves. We're here to be vessels to carry the kingdom. Because he said, go into all the world and tell them, he told them to say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is in you, around you, and among you. You are a carrier of the kingdom. That's pretty much the basics. Jesus came, he died, he shed his blood, he carried our sin, he paid the penalty for our sin, so that we wouldn't have to. He included everything in the package to redeem us back. Everything. And then he was raised from the dead. He was dead. He was raised from the dead. And then he came and was seen. And you know that when he was seen on this earth before he went up, and he was seen by 500 people there at the last before he ascended back up to heaven. And I mean, it said that when Jesus died on the cross and there was earthquakes and all kinds of stuff going on, when he was raised from the dead, that there were actually the saints of old who were walking the streets of Jerusalem. The kingdom of heaven began invading when Jesus was raised from the dead. And that's our job. He told 500 people to tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise. In 40 days later, there were still 120 of them. Where was the under 380? Where were they? They forgot. In 40 days, they forgot? I mean, they just watched him just ascend into the heavens and like, yes, Lord, 40 days later, they weren't even there? That just does not compute. Souls are in the balance. In the same dream. Part two on another night. The same dream. It's all one big dream. And the Lord took me up a mountain and he showed me R.W. Shambach. Does anyone know who that is? Brother R.W. Shambach. He used to be a mighty evangelist. He's in heaven now. He was still alive at the time that I had the dream. And the Lord took me up there, and I was running up this mountain, man. I wasn't breaking a sweat, and I was strong, and I could run, and I could do all kinds of stuff that the doctors told me I couldn't do. I was doing it. And I got to the top, and there was R.W. Shambach standing there looking out over a multitude of people, and he was preaching the gospel with all his might, preaching Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus, he's the only one that can save you out of this present evil age. I mean, he was just hot and heavy preaching it, signs, wonders, miracles. It was powerful. And I was just standing there watching. And all of a sudden, he saw me, and he just turned around and went, boom, and pointed his finger right at me, and I'm like, uh-oh. And he said, preach the gospel. In season and out, you're called to preach the gospel. Don't let people go to hell. Souls are in the balance. Even R.W. got it. You know, whenever you have a dream like that, and you have someone like that that you see in a dream, anybody ever have that kind of dream? It's usually because kind of like the Lord's trying to point you towards what your anointing is. It may not be exactly that, but it's that kind of anointing. And so I know I'm a revivalist. I'm a fiery, souls are in the balance kind of person. Like, why are we messing around over here when souls are in the balance? You know? Somebody's got to love them. Somebody's got to take the message to them and not just spending their life trying to figure out who's, you know, the pecking order in church. The pecking order. Oh, boy. I've been pecked. I don't like being pecked. I want to go get souls. And I don't want those souls getting pecked either. You know, we got to make a safe place so they don't get pecked. I hope people understand what word I'm saying. Okay, pecked. No pecking. We don't peck our wounded to death like some species do. Can you picture little chickens pouring in the oil and the wine? Okay, I'm just going in a different direction. But anyway, the Lord said, souls are in the balance. Then R.W. Shambach said, souls are in the balance. And so I said, yes, sir. Okay. And then I thought I was at the top of the mountain, and I looked up and saw that it just kept going. I was like, wait a minute. I thought R.W. was there. No, the mountain just kept going, so up I went. I just kept going, and that was, you know, that's when the Lord told me, tell Mike, don't spend time with the anointing wasters, which are the people that aren't doers of the word. They just want to just draw it off of you and get the goodies, but they don't want to go share it with anyone else, and they don't want to actually do what the Lord says or do what the word says. They just, he said, they're anointing wasters, and there's a whole world out there, and souls are in the balance. And so I think that's a message. Souls are in the balance, and we're being called up. We are called to be a counterculture, revival culture, ministry, church, whatever you want to call us. A culture of honor, a culture of respect. Because souls are in the balance. Amen. We've got to go get them. We've got to do it. And it just, that passion, I mean, just gets more stronger and stronger every day. And the Lord said, the anointing of when the kingdom of heaven invades earth. That's what causes revival. When the kingdom of heaven invades any service and people are allowed to interact with heaven, it changes them. I mean, completely changes them. And so I want you to know that here, that's what we're here for, is to allow the kingdom of heaven to invade and to let you guys and anyone and everyone under the sound of my voice, whoever, who is in contact with us in any way, to experience that and walk in interaction with heaven, the kingdom of heaven. It changes everything. And that's what revival looks like. Awakening, whatever you want to call it. Changes everything. He's already in you and around you and among you, and we are carriers of his glory. Peter said that we walked among him, we walked with the Word, he was the Word made flesh, we walked with him, we handled him, we talked to him, we heard him talk, yet we have a more sure word of prophecy. That word, the Bible, the Word of God is an even more sure word of prophecy. It's just a picture of Jesus, and it's a picture of what we look like, walking in him. That's you, walking in the kingdom. That's you with the kingdom, carrying the kingdom. We are his body, walking it out, because now he does have a place to lay his head. Okay, on us, on the body, and the devil is under our feet.
Amen.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. Wow, that's powerful. Oh man, I love the anointing of God. Mike, I would like to talk to you a little bit, ask you some questions, because we need to pull this together with the subject of third heaven intercession.
Yes.
With questions such as, what are God's purposes? How important it is to know who we are in Christ and where we are in Christ in heavenly places, seated with him, and why we are in Christ, because we asked him to be the Lord of our life. But, and connecting ourselves with his heart and his purposes in the earth. Would you take this?
I would love to.
Tell us a little bit about this.
Yes. Well, first of all, let me just say that God loves people. And Jesus died for people.
Yes.
The good news of salvation is for people. Mm-hmm. God wants to populate heaven with people.
Oh, amen.
And people need help to make it to Jesus, to make it to heaven, to make it through life and everything that God has given them,
yeah,
to bless them. And that's what intercession is all about. As you mentioned, it's standing in the gap. It's helping others to achieve whatever it is that God has for them.
Yes. It's also encompasses warfare.
Oh, definitely.
Which a lot of people don't. There's a lot of people that don't particularly care for warfare, or they think that's just someone else's ministry. But we're all called into one. And when you, once you entered the kingdom of God by accepting Jesus as your Savior, when you enter the spiritual kingdom, which is in and around you and among you right now here on earth, we're mm-hmm. here we are. We are in the warfare, whether we like it or not.
Oh, every human being is in the warfare.
That's true.
You really don't have a choice. The choice is whether or not you're going to accept that place, that responsibility to put on your armor, to pick up the spiritual weapons, and to use the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
In a way to overcome the enemy that's coming against you, your family, your friends, those around you.
Right. And in fact, there'd be no need for intercession if there was no warfare. So
that's right.
We need to establish right off the get-go that we are in a warfare. The kingdom of heaven, and right now, the kingdom of heaven is invading earth. That's so important to know. It's for people to understand. When Jesus himself was teaching his disciples to pray, when he was in the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Right there, those words. He was talking about the kingdom of heaven invading earth, and by our words, by our prayers and our intercession and by spiritual warfare, he is using us to bring the kingdom to planet earth. That's ultimately intercession, and that's
yes.
warfare.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, very good.
Talk to us then about that third heaven aspect of intercession.
Yes. I think that the term third heaven, by the way, is actually found in 2 Corinthians 12.
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 4.
Okay.
Or is it 12?
I think it's 12.
Look at it. I'm pretty sure it is 12. I misspoke there. And the Apostle Paul used that term talking about an encounter of vision that he had where he was taken to third heaven. And he used the term third heaven as the dwelling place of God, where God's throne room is. It's what most people would just say heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But he used it in distinction between that place and then, number one, the stellar heavens, the physical universe, and number two, the spiritual atmosphere around the earth that spirits, angels, demons, have activity.
Right.
And operate. So third heaven. But the reason I think the importance of third heaven and thereby intercession and so forth is because it emphasizes the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we are spiritual beings.
Right.
I've said it before, is that some people think that we're physical beings that are having a spiritual experience, but I believe that we are spiritual beings that are having a physical earthly experience.
It's just the other way around. Yeah.
Right. And so we're part of that spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is real.
It is.
It's there. And it encompasses both the dark side, so to speak, you know, borrowing a Star Wars term, and the light side, the kingdom of Satan versus kingdom of man. And so spiritual warfare, the kingdom of God, spiritual warfare is the tension that develops between those two kingdoms.
Yes. And over the souls of human beings on planet Earth. It's the line of demarcation is basically whether those souls are going to remain in the kingdom of darkness or be pulled into the kingdom of light. Because the light the Lord said, pulled into the kingdom of God's dear Son.
Yes.
And every time someone accepts Jesus, they are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of light. And so the line changes.
Now, exactly. It's not just a philosophy. It's not a mindset that, well, okay, now I believe in God. No,
right.
It's an actual spiritual transformation that happens because there's a spiritual being on the inside of us.
Yes.
We are eternal.
Yes. Every person listening to this podcast, you are going to remember this a million years from now. You will be conscious.
Yes.
Because you are a spiritual being on the inside of you. The real you is living inside an earth suit. That's your body that allows you the right to live on this planet. When your earth suit dies, it means you have to leave here and go to be with your Lord, who is either Jesus, hopefully, because you accepted him during your lifetime while you were on this earth, or that if you haven't accepted Jesus, please do. Please, I beg you to accept Jesus right now. Ask him to reveal himself to you. If you don't believe in him, ask him to reveal himself to you, because eternity is, I start to say, is a long time. It's more than a long time. There is no time. Eternity is forever. And God did not create hell for people. He didn't want humans to go there. That was for Satan and his angels that rebelled against God. The only reason humans go to hell is if they choose not to accept Jesus as their way of escape. And so ultimately they have nowhere else to go. They can't go to heaven unless they accept Jesus. It's just as simple as that. And it is that simple to accept Jesus as your Lord. And then you will get to go to heaven when you leave this earth, when your earth suit dies. But you can also interact with heaven while you're here. And that's what we're talking about when we say third heaven intercession, interaction, third heaven authority.
Mm-hmm.
All these things. There's so much going on out there in the heavenlies. And I wanted to say, in the second heaven, which we can't see with our physical eyes, but we can feel it. We feel the pressure of it. That's where the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians that was talks about the rank and file of demons that are in the atmosphere. And mm-hmm. he said that there's...
Well, here, let me read it to you. He said, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places."
That's right, in the heavenly places, the second heaven. And the third heaven authority, okay, some of that we've got, it was actually given to you by revelation, like the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12. Mm-hmm. Would you tell us about your experiences? Give us just a brief overview of, I'm trying to think of which one.
Well, there's a number. How about this?
Okay.
One day, I was praying, interceding in our kitchen.
Can I interject also that praying and interceding means we're praying in tongues? Okay.
Oh, definitely.
We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we do pray in tongues, and that is a third heaven participation, third heaven languages, whatever you want to call it, your
right.
heavenly prayer language, tongues. So that's what you were doing. Okay. Proceed.
That's good. In fact, there's third heaven intercession, third heaven prayer languages, third heaven authority.
Oh.
And maybe we can talk a little bit about those. We'll see how time holds out.
Okay.
But yes, I was praying in the kitchen. I was praying in third heaven languages in tongues.
Yeah.
The Bible says that we speak in tongues of men and of angels.
Yes.
Those of angels. And I had a vision. I was carried away in the spirit.
Wow.
And lifted up into the atmosphere, what we call the second heaven, that atmosphere around the earth. And I saw a lot of demonic forces that were coming against me, coming against other people that were, you know, under our ministry and our church, that kind of thing, a lot of believers. And I could see and feel and just knew all of the different struggles that they were going through. And I felt the compulsion of the Holy Spirit to do warfare for them. But an angel appeared behind me.
Mm.
And the angel strengthened me.
You could just feel his presence.
I could feel his presence. I couldn't see him at the time, but I could feel his presence. And I could feel his strength.
Hmm.
And I could feel direction somewhat.
Direction in prayer?
Yeah, in the prayer
yeah.
from him and also from the Holy Spirit. And so I began to intercede and do warfare. Immediately, a sword appeared in my hand. Now, that was symbolic of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
and spiritual warfare. A lot of times, the vision, the imagery that God uses to convey the message is in a way, specific way at that point, to get us to understand. Mm-hmm. And so, that's what was happening. So, I used the sword to begin to do warfare, and I would attack, as I swung the sword, I would attack a demonic figure, an influence, a pressure in the spirit, if you will. And then I would say with the words of my mouth at the same time I swung the sword, because this is just, it just came to me. This is the way to do it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, "I rebuke you in sickness or cancer or diabetes," or "I rebuke you lust, sin,
or poverty,
mm-hmm. any and everything the enemy uses against." And I would swing the sword, and so this went on for quite a while. And when I was finished, then I just stopped and I put the sword down to my side. And when I did, the angel that was behind me stepped up beside me, and I could see him standing there with his sword, and both swords were bloody. Just symbolizing the warfare and the effectiveness of the warfare. And then I heard a booming voice just echoing through the atmosphere, and it said, "Mike and Michael, an unbeatable team."
Oh, wow.
And at that moment, because I'd seen angels before,
mm-hmm.
I just kind of, wow, it hit me so strongly that almost like I just wanted to melt into a pool, so to speak. I began to quiver and to shake. The realization.
Who is Michael?
This is Michael. And why? Why Michael? Why here? I have no idea. Is this Michael the Archangel? And so I realized.
So who was it? It was Michael the Archangel.
It was Michael the Archangel.
Oh, wow.
What the Bible calls the Angel of Israel. Not only natural Israel, but also the protector of spiritual Israel, the body of Christ. And I thought, am I worthy? You know how? But I didn't have much time to even think about these things because the Lord then spoke. Again, there was a voice of the Lord that came. And he said, you have always been a warrior, but many things have come against you over the years to make you doubt that or to try to diminish that. And he said, now be the warrior.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's really anointed. Just to hear you tell it. Sitting here like,
I still get goosebumps just thinking about it, remembering it. Still affects me.
Wow.
So spiritual warfare in the heavenlies. And you see, I think it's important for people to understand that what we call spiritual warfare and even intercession, coming in the stead to help somebody else, can be done in many different ways. I mean, you know, you can, as far as standing in the gap for them, you can pray in English, you can do the word. I think that in some respects, doing the word is one of the greatest and strongest acts of spiritual warfare that there is, because you're resisting the enemy and the temptation, the tribulations, and all the things to do otherwise.
Being a doer of the word means that you are laying hands on the sick, or you're telling people about Jesus. You are flowing in your anointing and having an impact on others' lives.
Well said. And also renewing the mind so that your consciousness in God supersedes all of those temptations. Remember in 1 Corinthians 10 when he said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every thought and imagination?
Yes. You know? Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
It's powerful, renewing the mind. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted people to understand that there's a lot entailed in what we call spiritual warfare and resisting the influence of the enemy in our lives and what he's doing on the earth.
And a lot of our job, too, is to, in intercession, is to get the spiritual pressure off of others in intercession.
Yes.
We remove that pressure so that they can be delivered and set free so that it changes their lives. That's what we do.
Yes.
I sort of say as a living. That's what we do as our vocation. That's our calling. And there's nothing like it.
Yes.
People don't realize the impact of that kind of intercession. You can intercede yourself into the perfect will of God. You can intercede yourself into the will of God by praying in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And you can help intercede others into the will of God as much as they will allow, you know, they have to say yes to it, but most of them do when they're with that kind of power going on.
Yes.
So you were going somewhere with that.
Yeah. But a major aspect of that intercession, of that warfare, is prayer.
Yes.
Actual prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can pray in your known language, and you can pray in the unknown language.
Yes.
That third heaven prayer language.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, in 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says that he that speaks in a tongue, an unknown tongue, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries.
Yes.
So anything that you can do or pray in English, you can pray in tongues. He said you could bless in the spirit.
Oh,
he said
right.
That you could pray in the spirit, intercede.
Give thanks.
Give thanks. Anything you can do in English with born out of your own understanding, you can also do in tongues born from the Holy Spirit's understanding. And when we get to the end of our understanding, we can tap into the Holy Spirit's understanding as he prays the perfect prayer through us, the perfect intercession, and he reveals mysteries.
Yes.
The mysteries of God in our lives.
That's right. Oh, man. In fact, this in the Old Testament where it says that it's the glory of God to hide a matter and the glory of kings to seek it out. Those are some of the mysteries that the Lord has hidden for those that are willing to go after them. Because it takes a certain amount of, commitment or willingness to say yes to that kind of calling. And every believer really has the invitation.
Yes.
To live in that realm. It's just so many people don't believe they do. They don't realize what kind of destiny they really have. And it's been, so much of it has been dumbed down by, we found a new word for, I used to say religion or religious spirits, which is true, but maybe people understand it better if I say religionism.
Yes.
It has taken the power of the Word of God and the purposes of God and just dumbed it down so that people don't believe either that there's any power in it or that it's somehow it's not for them, it's for other people who are more special or something. I've got my air quotes going on. But it's for everyone that's willing to say yes.
Oh, yes.
To walk in these things. Well, now, I've heard you talk about, you had one encounter with the Lord. You've had a lot of these, and I kind of get them mixed up. One thing that's really interesting, too, that I like to mention is whenever Israel is, I've been watching Kenneth Copeland recently talking about the harbingers, the nine harbingers, and
yeah.
Talking to that rabbi, and I can't remember his name right now, but, we will discuss that in a future podcast. I love the approach, though, that Kenneth Copeland took on that, because it's just like the Lord showed you revival in the heavenlies.
Yes.
That was one of the encounters.
Yes.
That Michael, the archangel, was there and talked to you about the coming revival in the United States. So people think that a lot of this is all gloom and doom, you know, what's coming in on America, because there are all these harbingers are actually extremely interesting. I mean, only God could do this. Like whatever's happening, revival in Israel, revival in the United States, judgment in Israel, judgment in the United States. I mean, we are connected. We are the only two countries, I believe, on the planet that are connected that way. And that's why it's so important that America is connected, stands with Israel.
I agree with that. I might add that there's some indication in Scripture when it talks about the young lions at the end of time that it seems to talk about the English-speaking nations that include not only the United States, but Canada, England, New Zealand, Australia.
Oh, okay. So those are mentioned in the Word. Okay. So and they're all standing with Israel, which
yes.
is interesting.
Uh-huh.
So the angel of Israel comes and talks to you about revival in the heavenlies.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord is having mercy. That was the thing that Kenneth Copeland spoke of, and that it was so interesting about the harbingers, that even though the Lord is sending signs, he's been talking to me about, I'm withholding the judgment, that I'm trying to bring revival. I'm trying to bring revival. And so many of his own people don't believe it. They just want judgment. They think mm-hmm. everyone just deserves judgment, judgment, judgment. Well, of course they do. But God wants mercy, not,
right.
not judgment. Mercy
yes.
triumphs over judgment. He's looking to bring mercy. He's looking because revival comes before judgment. He gives that opportunity for as many people to say yes to him before judgment falls. He doesn't just, you know, do that right out of the blue. He sends signs. He sends an invitation, and he sends a powerful, powerful anointing for revival, spiritual awakening into the earth before judgment. And people can actually turn back the judgment, or they can hold it off for a time, for a season, because the Lord's not willing that anyone should perish. As long as there are people that are repenting and coming to God, repent means turn around and go the other way from the way they're going. As long as they're doing that, they're holding off the judgment. He will not say, okay, right in the middle of, well, people are still coming.
That's right. One of these days, maybe we should do a podcast on judgments, okay? Because ours is a whole, our understanding and teaching on that is different than so many.
It really is, isn't it?
Yeah, because, you know, the Bible says, Jesus himself said that the God of this world is already judged. Satan has been judged, has been already.
Already.
So the manifestation of that judgment is carried out by the body of Christ.
Right.
And
that's why there's so many people that don't believe that revival's coming, because they're all judgment-minded.
Right. They think that somehow they're supposed to align with an Old Testament viewpoint of an angry God that somehow is looking around to catch everything that's wrong and then bring judgment against it and punishment on the spot, instead of aligning themselves. And by the way, that in Hebrews 10 is called a sin consciousness.
Yes.
In the same chapter, aligning themselves with the righteousness consciousness of a loving God that has already judged, and it's up to us to carry forth that judgment in the earth. So when we lead somebody to the Lord, when we intercede them into the kingdom, and then mm-hmm. actually maybe even witness to them ourselves or see them coming in, the judgment against Satan at that moment comes into play, that he is judged as a criminal and that he has no power to carry them to hell, because they are right now receiving justice and mercy of God
wow.
into their lives. That's judgment being carried out by the saving of their souls, by them getting saved and coming into the kingdom.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that includes every area, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Judgment is declared upon sickness, for instance. When you lay hands on the sick,
and they recover.
And they recover.
Yes.
Then justice is served
oh,
and
wow.
dignity is restored to that individual through
wow.
that act.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome.
It's not sitting around and going, oh, that's a drug dealer down there. God, kill him. No. That's not the judgment
right.
of God.
Yeah, God save him.
Yeah.
And then let him have impact on all those people that he'd been giving drugs to.
Exactly.
Save him so massively, you know, that he's just like, and an important part of it too is flowing in the anointings. Because
yes.
if people try to do these things, that's where a lot of that judgment stuff comes from, with people trying to interpret and pray for the nations without the revelation of the Holy Spirit and flowing with anointings in the earth, recognizing that, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that carries us. Even just like on that clip, I was listening to Brian play as he ushered in the anointing and the glory, and I was just riding that anointing as I prophesied about souls are in the balance.
Yes.
Everything that God does is based on anointings, and he has placed on your life. I've watched. I have been a witness and watched how the Lord has placed this anointing on you, Mike, to operate in third heaven realities. It's like interaction with heaven. It is
yes.
interaction with heaven. And it's by the anointing. It's not something you can work up. It's not something you can duplicate without the anointing. There's a lot of wannabes out there.
Yes.
And people get fooled into thinking, oh, well, they're doing the same thing you are. Oh, I don't think so.
No.
The more you pray in tongues, the more you intercede in the Spirit, the more you become aware of anointings. Not just the anointing.
Right.
But anointings, plural, different kinds of anointings to accomplish different things in the earth that the Lord has in mind.
That's it. I think that part of it too, when we talk about third heaven intercession,
mm-hmm.
is learning how to operate in the spiritual realm, being led by the Spirit
mm-hmm.
In a way that not only comes through us spiritually, but even flows through our natural body to release the kingdom of heaven through us into the atmosphere, to change, to shift the atmosphere,
yes.
to get demonic strongholds and tear them down.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that vision here in just a second. And to actually release people from the influences and the bondages and the holds, to do it in the spiritual realm so that they have a shot
yes.
at accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior.
Yes. anyone in their right mind would accept Jesus.
Yes.
The deal is getting them in their right mind.
Right.
Really, that's what intercession's about.
Right. That's why the Bible says the God of this world has blinded the eyes of their understanding.
That's right. Wow.
So, taking the blinders off, intercession works for that. Well, let me talk about that one vision, that encounter I had. I'll do it briefly, but on another, probably a year after the first one I just explained, where God said, be the warrior, Michael appeared to me again, and during my prayer time, interceding, and I was lifted up into the second heaven. And while I was there in the spiritual atmosphere, and I say lifted up because that's the way it feels. I don't want anybody to misunderstand me and say they can only have a spiritual experience if somehow they feel lifting. And no, the Spirit's right there around you. You just step into it. You're aware of it. But in these encounters, there was a lifting and a taking up. And Michael showed me in the spiritual atmosphere over America, this great swirling mass of rainbow colors. And he indicated that it was revival spiritual awakening that was coming to America. It was hanging there. And I do know that scripturally, that rainbow in the Bible is connected with the throne of God, the authority of God, and also with covenant and redemption. Yes. All of those things create revival, spiritual awakening. Mm. And so it was coming to America, but there were strongholds that were resisting that. They were demonic strongholds in this vision, the way the imagery worked. And there was fire rain just coming from upward, just falling down on those strongholds. And I could tell it was angels. Angels are greatly involved in spiritual warfare for us.
Yeah.
I've seen that. Oh, man, I got so much to talk about. Let me stick with this.
Okay.
So the fire rain was hitting and destroying the strongholds. But as they were dismantled and the revival, the rainbow cloud or colors were coming down lower and lower, then the enemy would come up, demonic spirits, and rebuild new strongholds to try to keep it from coming down, stop the will of God.
Wow.
Well, I asked Michael, I said, how come when you guys, when the angels tear down a stronghold, that they come back? I mean, you're more powerful than the devil.
Right.
Why? And this is what he said. It shocked me. He said, because of the mouths of men. He said, the hearts and the mouths of men rebuild them.
Whoa.
And the authority of man. And I could see and hear that all of the things, the anger in America, for instance, the judgment in America.
The murmuring.
The murmuring in America. Yeah, the cursing America by the words of just not only the general populace, but so many of them being believers who didn't know the power of their tongue and what they were doing. It allowed, it empowered, Michael said, for the demonic spirits to build the strongholds.
Oh, wow. And they're also, a lot of them that are using their mouth, involved in politics, and they're really angry, and conspiracy theories and all these things. Lots of anger being spewed, and a lot of ridiculousness being spewed, as if God can't handle it.
Right.
Or, you know, like God, suddenly now the devil's bigger than God, and they speak, they talk a lot of fear.
Oh, definitely. All those things.
Yeah.
Wow. But then Michael said something else. He said, that's why we need an army of faith-filled spiritual intercessors.
Yes.
Who will empower us. And he was talking about himself and not only the angels in general, but the warfare angels, because Michael is the head, the leader of the warrior angels of God.
That's right.
And he said to empower them to do their job the same way that the doubt and unbelief and the hate and all the other words from the other camp were empowering the demonic spirits.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
That really is.
And he has shown me, not only I'm talking about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, as well as any angelic visitation, has showed me to do warfare in the heavenlies.
Yeah.
And how to do warfare in the heavenlies. I can't explain it all on this podcast in this time frame. But I can say this. In Psalm 103, verse 7, the Bible says that God made his ways known to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel.
Yeah.
And what he meant by that is that Moses, as he declared, was revealed the word of God face to face.
Right.
He learned the voice of God. He learned the ways of God, the way God moved, and he followed what the instructions God gave him, where the children of Israel enjoyed all the acts. They were fed in the wilderness.
They got the benefits.
They got the benefits of it.
He was the prophet, and he recognized the form of the Lord.
Yes.
And the people got to partake of the benefit of him going on their behalf, basically as an intercessor.
Yes, an intercessor.
To the Lord. The blessings came on the people.
Yes.
When they received him as a prophet.
Yes.
There were some that rebelled, and that's a story for another time. But
the umbrella principle is that they received the benefits, the blessings, the acts of God, the miracles, the salvation, the deliverance, because he knew the ways. Well, transfer that into New Testament times.
Okay.
It's incumbent upon every believer, if they choose to learn the ways of the Spirit.
Yes.
That we are spiritual beings that operate in the spiritual realm simultaneously to being physical beings operate in the physical realm.
Right.
And learning the ways of the Spirit, how to navigate the heavenlies, how to use the Word of God, cannot emphasize that enough. You have to be Word people. You have to know what you're doing, because that's the power. It's the Word and the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's what the Lord has taught us.
Mm-hmm.
But even in these encounters I'm sharing, over almost four decades of ministry, how to do that. And that's one of my job. The Lord has said, teach my people third heaven authority.
Right.
How to navigate the heavenlies and do that in the spiritual realm.
Wow.
And I want to say something. There's so much going that's so powerful these days, where people are learning about the spiritual realm and having spiritual experiences. And there's this thing that's called soaking and so forth, which is valid.
Uh-huh.
And there's a time and a place for that soaking in the Spirit and
I
having spiritual encounters.
Yeah.
But that does not replace third heaven intercession.
Right.
And warfare.
Absolutely.
It is not a substitute.
I agree.
And I want to lay on the beach, and I want to soak in the sunshine and hear the roar of the ocean and pop a few grapes in my mouth and enjoy it. But there's also a time that swimmer out there has got caught in the current or has a bellyache or cramps and is going down, and you got to get up and you got to go save them.
That's right. Oh, that's a good illustration. That's right.
And that's what third heaven intercession is about, learning the ways of the Spirit.
Yes. And so that we are actually participating with heaven in bringing the kingdom to this planet.
Yes.
Praise God. Well, Mike, thank you for sharing that with us today. That's powerful stuff. And I'm going to have you come back and share some more. And I just want to tell every person that's listening today that you have a powerful destiny in God, that your destiny matters, and the Lord loves you. And these things aren't just for the preachers. Everybody who longs after the things of God, or is will, you know, God has called you to participate. Everyone's allowed to participate. And I just want you to know that you are powerful. God sees you as a powerful person. He loves you. If you don't know him, ask him to come into your heart. I can't stress that enough. Ask him to come into your life. And if you do know him, and if you don't pray in tongues yet, Ask him to fill you with Holy Spirit. Ask him to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. You've got him already. He's already in there. But let him release that through you, because there's a power there that will change your life and change your world and the lives of everyone around you, and cause you to be a third heaven warrior. We are called into a powerful warrior thing, because we win. This is nobody's going down. As long as you stay in Christ, you are already seated with him in heavenly places. Oh, wow. God loves you, and I just bless you so much. Thank you for tuning in today. And back to you, Brian.
All right. And that's good stuff. And we're out of time. We'll have to just go ahead and leave it there for today. So as always, I want to thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. Or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.